We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, here we go on a Red Monday. It's Cody and Gold alongside Cody Tapp. I'm Alex Gold. Nick Schwert producing the show. He's back from his weekend trip, I guess, to Denver. We'll get to that a little bit later as...
That's supposed to mean.
Well, I mean, he made Grant last week, who filled in, have to spin the wheel. Essentially, it was his fault. It should have been a Nick spin for not being here.
Nick should have just spun for being absent from the show.
So we'll just move the punishment that Grant had, and I think we just hand it off to Nick.
That seems fair.
I think that's easy enough.
Don't worry, it's nothing too bad. We'll tell you about it later. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
Yeah, so it's good to have Nick back. Of course, coming up at noon, we'll head out to Arrowhead, the only place you can hear from Andy Reid, right here on your official broadcast partner for the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. Kyle Brandt, also from NFL Network, going to stop by at 12:30. But the Chiefs get the win, as we know, against Washington. And boy, oh boy, the Mahomes performance... Second quarter compared to third and fourth quarter.
Even first third and fourth quarter.
It was something we hadn't seen before, to say the least. If you look at it from as bad as he looked at the end of the first half to nearly a perfect second half, a perfect third and fourth quarter, ultimately the Chiefs run away with that thing against the Washington football team. But he and the Chiefs as a whole in the second quarter, they looked like a hot mess. But this, the ability to still flip the switch, is even if it's against an opponent like Washington, is a reminder of still the capabilities that not only the football team has, time out the Chiefs, not the Washington football team, that's not confusing at all, and Patrick Mahomes. The MVP Mahomes showed up in the second half. I don't know what that was. Texas Tech rookie quarterback throw in the second quarter.
It's one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen.
Stuff we hadn't seen from him in a Chiefs uniform in the National Football League. But to be able to do that, like that's as bad as it gets for Patrick Mahomes in the second quarter.
It's such a weird game because when you look at it in its own individual right, it's like, wow, I mean, he had almost 400 yards passing, but a couple of picks again and two touchdowns. And you're like, okay, so I can work with parts of where this game went and with the others. But it's fairly obvious at this point that any indication of his demise were greatly exaggerated. And certainly that wasn't being perpetuated by us, but we had talked about him pressing and those issues. And that wasn't the problem yesterday. And because the defense played great for a large majority of the game, and we'll talk about them in a minute. So like that wasn't the issue. And there still were some like, oh no, what are you doing throws? But if you look at that one throw, that was still in a moment where you could be pressing. Because the turnover had already happened with Tyreek Hill, gone through his hands. You're trailing before half to a bad Washington football team. And then you make a bad decision on top of it to make that kind of throw. But the second half hit, he went full-blown, scorched earth, making throws. He's making shovel passes underhand 10 yards to Travis Kelce. I don't know if you saw that upper deck angle of the throw he made on the pass. It didn't eventually count. To Tyreek Hill across the field. He was doing those things again. So to me, it's still fairly obvious. He is tremendous. I cannot ignore the interceptions and will continue not to. But as long as Patrick Mahomes is their quarterback, I think we know that their ceiling is incredibly high.
This is what Mahomes had to say about that one interception right before halftime.
That's bad. That's the best way. First off, I dropped the snap trying to get out of there too fast to get it to Darryl. And then I picked it up. Was going to try to run outside. And then saw Trav, and then the rest you can kind of see. It was bad, but, I mean, you got to bounce back in this league. It's going to look bad. It's probably going to come on, man, or something like that. But it's you got to find a way to win games at the end of the day. Defense got to stop. We were able to go out there and score in the second half and bounce back.
And you can, of course, when you put together second half performance the way he did and ultimately you get the win, you can kind of laugh about it a little bit and realize just how
it's much like easier.
That's obviously a throw that everybody knows. He knows. Everybody knows. It's like one that just you cannot make. It was a throw that you would see a Zach Wilson or any rookie quarterback just to throw out in week one of the season make an interception like that you would expect.
I would be telling Ben Roethlisberger to retire. I would be calling Zach Wilson. Oh, but it's butt fumble bad. Like if it happens
it
happens with a bad team and a comedy of errors, you'd never stop making fun of that pick. But it's just like all the stuff he does outside of that.
But what you said about in the second half for him, what we not even just Mahomes, but it was a combination of Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. There was the second drive of the third quarter, and suddenly it was vintage Mahomes, vintage Tyreek Hill. How many times had we seen them both take over a drive? There was we've seen the Travis Kelce drives where it's just Mahomes and Kelce marching down the field. You had Travis Kelce, who was needed on that one of the drives because Tyreek Hill, the quad injury, flared up, obviously, again. But then you saw Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Mahomes, all the vintage type of drives we've seen 100 times since they've all been together. You saw that come to life again in the second half. And at that point in time, it was over because you had your offense executing that way. I mean, the numbers that Mahomes was able to put up, if you just compare first half, second half. Now, most of these first half numbers are from the first quarter, really, because of how poor. Because of how poor. The first half, Mahomes, 13 of 23, 222, and two interceptions. Then the second half, he goes and throws another 24 times, but he's 19 of 24 for a 175 and two touchdowns, and most importantly, no interceptions. He still leads the league in touchdowns. Unfortunately, he leads the league in interceptions, but that second half is one where you kind of take a deep breath because things were getting a little crazy in the second quarter where the narrative was around Patrick Mahomes, and I get the frustration, but
got people tweeting out contracts.
It's beyond
numbers.
The narrative though, right? Like just to play devil's advocate, we can talk about what people are talking about, but the facts and the stats are still the stats, which are the Chiefs still have.
Yeah, but you got
three turnovers yesterday.
They did.
They have 14 on the season. That's two
picks.
Less. That's two less than they had all of last season. They are dead last in the NFL. So like the turnover issues that we have talked and talked and talked about
for sure
for weeks still persisted against perhaps the worst defense in the NFL.
No, that still maintains their other than the defense, right, which we had a nice performance we'll get to. That is still, the turnovers is still their big problem. I'm just discussing the fact that you got SpotTrack and these other websites during the game, Nick, tweeting out like his contract, like, oh man, you sure you like that contract? Yes, I do. It is still the best contract in sports.
I think it's what's happened here a little bit is Mahomes is having some of those moments still, but quarterback play, generally speaking, has been incredible this year. So, like, the curve is tougher than it's ever been for his level of play because of already how great he is, right? The standard we've set for Mahomes is already higher than any quarterback that we set a standard for. And on top of it, there are, like, seven quarterbacks playing incredibly. Tom Brady has 17 touchdowns but has five less interceptions than Mahomes, also has more yardage than him. Matthew Stafford, after his game yesterday, he's got 16 touchdowns, has half as many interceptions, and has similar yardage to Patrick Mahomes. Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert, Kirk Cousins, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson. Like, the list of quarterbacks who are putting up incredible stats and are playing incredibly is kind of long this year. Like, that's part of where, like, what we're seeing out of Mahomes and where we judge him and how happy we are about this win. I just like to see him look like he had it again. Like, the team as a whole yesterday, for a moment, finally looked like, felt like they felt like they had it. Like, everything to this point has felt like a slog. And Mahomes, in the second half of that game yesterday, wasn't near perfect. He was perfect. He played a perfect half of football. He made no mistakes. They scored all the time. Like, he was making incredible throws that other guys can't make. I mean, it was everything.
Yeah, Mahomes does have 15 picks in his last 15 games. And
that's hard to ignore.
And that's
not a small sample size.
Those are legit. Those are numbers. And there's a few that you can try to shove to the side a little bit. The Tyreek Hill, of course, in the first half, not the first interception that Mahomes had. Tyreek Hill has to catch that football. But overall, yeah, I mean, I think not that anybody thought Patrick Mahomes suddenly lost all of his skill and talent they were taken away from him, like we're watching Space Jam or something from the Monstars. Like that didn't suddenly happen. Okay, it may have felt like
when
it for
he threw
like
that pick, it like, felt that way. Briefly,
it might have felt that way, but like nobody actually thought deep down that, oh man, our quarterback is a problem. Give me a break. Like that, but that's what was crazy about some of the reaction that was happening. And I get it, it's in the middle of the game. People were, the Chiefs at that point in time in the second quarter were a complete hot mess in all phases of it, and to see your standard MVP bearer out there having that kind of second quarter was frustrating and like scary to a certain extent for people. But look, he settled in the second half, to say the least, and ended up putting up ridiculous second half numbers for anybody.
And for the very rare time, it felt like what happened was he'd already had a bad start to the season. He throws another ball that goes off Tyreek Hill's hands because he slips and falls, probably because of the injury he's dealing with. The ball gets picked, and then he started, not woe is me, but it was like, can I do something? Like, because they were playing to that point, by the way. It was really the second quarter. To start the game, they were playing nearly perfect on offense, weren't they? They took the ball. They got a three and out. They went 95 yards and made it look incredibly easy to score a touchdown. They got the ball right back after a field goal, and they were driving down the field easily. Looked like they were going to score another touchdown. And then Tyreek Hill drops the ball. I think you were texting us, hey, got to go up 14-3 here, because then it already felt like that game was going to be over. And then we had to spend the entire second half and going into halftime being like, well, what the hell just happened? This team was supposed to win this game. It was supposed to be easy, and then it wasn't. But then they got it. Like, the second half, to me, is really the culmination of, I hope this is the momentum that brings them into this. Because you even get the quotes from Andy Reid after the game saying, they're sitting there at halftime saying, enough is enough. Because it felt like that moment. You're at halftime against a bad Washington football team who's been playing wretched defense and okay offense, and you're sitting there trailing after a cavalcade of mistakes again. Not just two interceptions, but a fumble too.
Do you believe what we saw in the second half and in the game as a whole, ultimately with the win, is that enough to give you some momentum? Do you see enough there to make you feel a bit better? I'm curious where people are at, because yes, it's a win, but it is against the Washington football team, so there's got to be a little balance in how we evaluate it over on the Jay's Southland Tow Service text line 913-576-7610. Because to me, what was confirmed was, not surprisingly, the Chiefs' margin of error is greater when you're not playing the Bills or the Chargers or the Ravens. Some of that second quarter would be won against the Bills or the Chargers. You probably don't survive.
You bait yourself.
Right? Because they would have taken advantage of some of those opportunities. But I do believe you needed to see some hope. And we'll talk more in detail about the defense in about 20 minutes or so. But you need to see some signs that improvement can exist against these kind of competition. Right, these teams, right? It's one thing during the playoffs, they got to figure it out against the Bills and the Ravens and the Chargers. But right now, what you need to see is if you want to prove that you're not just an average football team, that you're still one of the better teams in the league, that's what they needed to do yesterday. Even if with a terrible second quarter offensively, go out and dominate your opponent, which is what they did in the second half. That game was not close once they got two drives into the second half. And so to me, yeah, it makes me feel a little bit better that there was some progress. That's ultimately these three games. Washington, the Titans next week, and the Giants. It's about nobody's going to think they're suddenly a great team by beating those teams. It is about progressing enough to where when the challenge gets greater again, Packers, Cowboys, Chargers, whatever, right?
Boy, they really do have a tough second part of that schedule.
That you're ready to go, that you've improved enough to be able to hang in those, and hopefully whether it's the turnovers to Nick's point, like that you've by then figured out a way to not have these turnovers
three times against any of those teams and win.
Or the defense has gotten some confidence. Like at some point you had to have lost your confidence a little bit just playing out there defensively. Hopefully this was a game that even gets some confidence and some belief out there that they're capable of going out and executing when needed, even if it is against a Washington football team. So no, I think it was a much needed win. A big time, much needed win for this football team. Imagine if they would have lost this thing after the way the second quarter was looking.
It was a much bigger deal for the defense than the offense in this game. Offensively, they still did some of the same stuff they're doing. In every game except for the Bills this year, they've had some moments offensively where you're like, oh my God, they're an unstoppable juggernaut. After 3 weeks, I was calling them the best offense in football. But they kept turning the ball over, and that still exists. I don't get to erase the first half. They still threw two picks, and one was on Tyreek Hill, one was on Patrick Mahomes, and the fumble was on Mecole Hardman. They still turn it over three times. They're still doing some of those things. But defensively, this was night and day different. And I know that there's plenty of people who are not going to be like, oh, good for you. You played good defense against a bad team. No offense, but they played a bad team offensively a couple of weeks ago in the Philadelphia Eagles, and it didn't look so good. The following week, I saw Jalen Hurts throw for 111 passing yards after he went for 387 against the Chiefs defense. So to me, I don't care who the opponent is on offense going against the Chiefs defense. If they show signs of actual ability, that's a massive win for me. That is the defense can take momentum out of this thing. The offense has still got to figure out how to simply just not turn the ball over, which is getting harder to believe it's going to just go away, because we are 6 weeks into this and they are turning the ball over at an incredible pace. And they have not slowed down in that department. It's not like yesterday they only turned it over once. No, they turned it over three times again. But defensively, I really think that could be like a big momentum builder, because that was they showed something in that game. They switched things up for the first time all season, and it bore fruit. That, to me, actually matters.
Yeah, I mean, it's Washington, but it was still the lowest scoring output that Washington put together all year. I mean, there is something to be said for that. It's you still have levels of
like, NFL, what you anymore is good.
And what you expect, like, if you're that great team, if we're talking about the Bills when they were heading into the Chiefs game, how, okay, they had only, at that time, I remember we were saying, oh, they only play the Dolphins and the Texans. But the one thing in those, at least they weren't just scraping by. They were beating the hell out of the Dolphins and the Texans. And so the Chiefs, after that first half, they beat the hell out of the Washington football team in the second half.
And they should have for
half.
The entire game, honestly. If it weren't for the turnovers, that does feel like the kind of game that's supposed to be 40-0, right? Washington wasn't doing anything offensively. The Chiefs just kept giving them the ball back by turning it over multiple times, ending their own drives. It's the same story. They should have won that game like the Bills beat the Jets. It should have been 40-0. That's why I feel like, at least, like you said, it is tangible improvement.
It's the biggest win since the Jets game last year.
Yeah.
18 points.
That's a big victory in the
NFL. Some people will tell you, and I don't believe this at all, that it's Washington. What can you learn? Like you said, what good teams are supposed to do against bad teams is beat the brakes off of them. And it didn't look like that for four quarters, but you look at the final box score and
beat them.
And that's kind of what you got. So it seems like something that maybe today we're not going to sit here and say, oh my gosh, this team is back. But it may be a game that we look back on 2 months from now and say that's kind of when everything seemed to turn
for
this team.
I mean, I hope that's the case. I mean, will this be the game that's compared to that post-Titans game of 2019, the Mexico City game against the Chargers? Like, we'll see, right? We gotta advance and fast forward a month and a half for us to believe that. But there's a chance, right? There's a chance if that's ultimately what the defense is capable of improving and feeds off of what they were able to do. That's certainly a possibility. I you're right on the turnovers. It's like, at some point, you can't keep saying, oh, they'll get better. I'm still doing it for another week. I can promise you that. Like, I still sit here and
man,
don't believe.
We are a third of the way through the season, and this team has turned the ball over 18 times.
I know. I just,
or whatever it is. It's getting high.
Some teams end up just being that turnover team that year, and maybe that's the Chiefs this year. Maybe it is. But I still am at the point where I don't believe that that's going to be the case all year. And if it's not, then this offense is back to being unstoppable.
Did you guys ever
see? That's the only thing that's stopping them.
Did you guys ever see the second Austin Powers movie, The Spy Who Shagged Me?
I did.
The whole movie focuses on Austin Powers getting his mojo stolen and trying to get it back. And in the end, he learns that nobody can take your mojo. It's inside you all along. Only you can take your mojo from you. So I feel like there's a lot of parallels to draw there between Austin Powers, his quest to get his mojo back, and what the Chiefs are doing right now. Like, we can say that, okay, this is what the Bills did to you. They came into your stadium and won. But in the end, the Chiefs are the ones who control whether or not they have their mojo. And I just think we should all...
I'm glad we got that in.
I think we should all remember that.
That Austin Powers 2 reference, really important for the first 20 minutes of the show. So.
Yeah. I was more of an Austin Powers and gold member kind of guy.
What? Of course you were.
Uh-huh. Like that one.
Stunning. Stunning, right?
Probably you've worked in a lot of puns about yourself.
That's right. I did.
Was it just because the gold thing? Yeah, that's why you
liked
it?
Large part of it. And Beyonce was in it.
Because it's like,
right.
It's like anything else, though. Like, you don't like any of the things that people joke about your name. Like, I don't want to hear tap dance or tap water ever again. You still want people to
You've
say,
made a lot
I love gold.
I don't mind it. It was part of an intro for a show I used to do. So, yeah, I don't care. I don't care.
God, he's really good with it. Yeah. I feel like I'd get tired of it.
Not when it's that. There's other ones that would be worse, but that was fine.
I've heard you say the term, Cody, having trouble tapping it, guys.
I remember saying you wrote that line.
Look, it's different when I say it. It's different when I say it. It's different when I say it versus when other people do. Okay,
okay.
Let's just make it very clear. I can say that. It's my name.
People on the text line are multiple people asking for us to discuss Jody Fortz, and that we'll get to that. Unfortunately, we will get to that. There's also people that think that we have to resolve a pending issue between Nick and I when it comes to that. That's not the important thing right now, though.
We're trying to start the show on a positive note.
We don't want to talk about
back to 500.
We're not happy about the injury. Nobody is. That was a bummer to see. But the Chiefs are back to 500, and it seems like maybe their mojo did get back a little bit there to go with the Austin Powers reference that Nick provided us as well.
You started it, man. Don't make
you
this about
mojo.
Me.
I did say that. And text line, you're correct. Favorite Bond movie, Goldfinger? It's up there.
It's fairly high on the
so
list.
You're just going to choose things that have the words gold.
We know goldfish is one of his favorite snacks.
What? I have a solution.
Right?
I think you should start wearing...
Who doesn't like gold, right?
I think you should start wearing a gold necklace. I don't know why you haven't started already. Or gold earrings, or bracelet, maybe all three.
Earrings might be difficult to pull
just
off.
Just one single stud.
Why would that be difficult?
Because my ears aren't pierced.
Well, we can go to a kiosk in the mall after the show and take care of that.
We get you to a Claire's in a mall in no time.
Does Claire's still exist?
I don't know.
Yes, they do. I actually went into a physical mall for the first time in a decade last week, and there was a Claire's there.
Okay.
And like four other stores. It's like a Yankee Candle, a Claire's, like a discount shoe store, Bath and Body Works, and that was it.
I liked that it was the exact same stores that were in a mall when I used to be in a mall.
Go figure.
Nothing has changed.
Go figure.
All right. If you didn't get an Auntie Anne's pretzel, I don't even know why you went to the mall.
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Sbarro.
That's right. No, you're not wrong at all. We'll get to the defense again here in 10 minutes, but there was something that we've been asking for Andy Reid to do a little bit more the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season. Now, we saw it on the first drive of the game, and it was something we hadn't seen very often since Andy Reid had been the coach here in Kansas City, and that was the opportunity on their own side of the field in the first quarter. The Chiefs, after getting a nice stop from their defense, you could tell there was like an emphasis, like, oh, we've got some good vibes going. Our defense just helped us out. The offense was moving, but it was a fourth and short. And Andy Reid, on his own side of the field, decided to go for fourth down. They ultimately get the fourth down conversion. That's only something we've seen, and I'll give Matt Derrick credit for this over at Chiefs Digest, but only the fourth time since Andy's been in Kansas City that he went for fourth in the first quarter on his own side of the field. That was a positive sign. I think that did set the tone a little bit early in the game. Like, look, our defense is playing with some energy. We got some momentum. Let's not give this right away back to Washington by punting this football. We've got this offensive line that we built up. We've got Patrick Mahomes, and they obviously are confident in Darrell Williams, who we'll touch on a little bit later on too, because Darrell Williams was effective yesterday in the running game.
The problem is it was only a half measure. I don't mean Debbie Downer on the fourth down stuff. They had a chance to go for another fourth and short and instead opted for a 50-plus yard field goal. And I know you got Harrison Butker, but at that point, it like didn't mean anything in the game. Why wouldn't you just go for it? The problem with going for it on fourth down occasionally, and that shows a sign that Andy Reid is willing to change in this is, and I think I want to credit whoever said it, but the correct choice is, would Brandon Staley have gone for it instead of kick that field goal with Butker? And the answer is 1,000% yes. Absolutely, he would have. I think you have to maintain that aggression throughout the game. You have to be willing to do it time in and time out. And as the game gets later in there, you get much more justified to not go for it, to punt the ball away, to kick the field goal and take the points and do those things. But early on, you can put a lot of pressure on teams by making those decisions. I love that he went for it on fourth down. It was a sign to me that he's actually willing to do it. The fact that you're saying, Matt Derrick says, that's the first time he's ever been willing on his side of the field to go for it on fourth down is...
Fourth time.
Why do you have Patrick Mahomes, a $5 million player, and why did you invest in all this offensive line if you don't trust him to get out yard?
Sure. Yeah.
Take a chance. Like, do it more is all I'm asking for. I'm happy he did it. I just want him to do it more.
Heading into Sunday, this was just the fourth down numbers across the league. Most fourth down attempts through 5 weeks in the last 30 seasons. This year, there were 200. There've been heading into Sunday, 211 fourth down attempts. Last year, there was 188. 2009, there was 173. By far, in the last 30 years, we've already seen more fourth down attempts in the league. That only increased, whether it was Andy Reid going for fourth downs or anybody else in the NFL. Like you mentioned, Brandon Staley, they went for multiple of them because they were trailing and getting their butt kicked by the Baltimore Ravens. It was interesting. People were being critical of Brandon Staley because, of course, they weren't working that go around. It doesn't change the mindset. It was still the right mindset for Brandon Staley. And you're going to continue to see, hopefully, Andy Reid be aggressive with that going forward as well. But I just think that the reason why he was willing to do it there, Cody, was the fact once his defense showed something, I think it was like, why kill the momentum here? Let's keep this thing going.
Well, a lot of it is, and that's the thing, like Andy didn't want to let his team, because at that point they were playing good offense. Like he didn't want to lose it all over just one, oh, we came up short. I actually think you should start looking to play offense this way. And I saw it once with Washington where when you're on the plus side of the field, let's say you're on between the 40 and the 40, right? On either side. And you start getting in those, you know, what we call third and longers, third and seven, third and eight, third and nine. What you're seeing across the league and what Andy has to adjust to is you can call a 5 yard play there because you're going to just go for it on the next play. You don't have to find a way to get 8 yards. You don't have to find a way to get 9 yards. You can get seven. Seven's fine. because seven then makes it reasonable to go for the fourth. Because if it's fourth and eight, you got a problem. If it's fourth and nine, you got a problem, and those things become more challenging. But what you do in that situation is you go for it. Like, you find a way to, like, chisel away so that every fourth down decision is an easy one. And that's where the fourth and one was. Because on the fourth, and when he kicked the field goal, it was like fourth and four. And I still think if Andy's got points on the board, he's unwilling to go for it. If he's got points he can get, he'll take the points. And I think some people are saying it's still worthy going for the seven, or at least a higher percentage field goal, if you get stalled out of the 20 or the 15 on a longer third or fourth down.
Coming up next, it's not problem solved, but it was a necessity for this football team on Sunday.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Andy Reid talks exclusively every Monday at noon, and the only place you can hear it, Cody and Gold, on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up in 8 minutes, we'll get to some positive developments in the AFC West with what the Chargers look like and certainly the Denver Broncos as well when they take on the Las Vegas Raiders yesterday. Plus, Nick's notable notes around 10:50 or so. But, man, it wasn't problem solved for the defense by any means, but it was a necessity for this defense to show something. And they did. They absolutely did. Yes, it's against Washington. But this defense, in a half, first half, second quarter, where the offense was really struggling because of the turnovers that we referenced, and the offense was putting their defense, actually, in some bad spots, the defense stood up. And if it wasn't for the defense at times, this game yesterday could have been potentially out of reach even heading into the third quarter for Kansas City. So this defense, to me, it is something to build on. By no means do I suddenly think the Chiefs are going to be a dominant defense and hold teams to 13 points or anything like that. Of course not. But there needed to be some signs of life the way things were trending for this defense. And we saw it. There was some personnel changes that they went through. You know, it's hard to say how much did those ultimately result in what they did. How much was the opponent? Like, do I think that Juan Thornhill was the whole reason why the defense played better yesterday? No. How much of an impact did it have? We'll continue to find out, I think, as the weeks go on. But I'll tell you this, Juan Thornhill, his name really didn't get mentioned, and that was a good thing. because it wasn't like Terry McLaurin and Taylor Heinicke were taking deep shots down the field and taking advantage of it. There was the one busted coverage, of course, that was horrific, and former Chief Ricky Seals-Jones was wide open.
He wasn't the only person who was wide open on like, that play.
There was nobody covering
many
anybody.
Many players.
That was the one play, right? That was the one play that was what we had seen for the first 5 weeks of
and
the season.
And Tyrann Mathieu
right?
blew up on the sideline.
He did, and we'll talk about Tyrann Mathieu coming up at 11 o'clock as well, and what that moment meant or can mean still going forward for the Chiefs. But defensively, yeah, it was a second half as a team to build on, but it was a whole game to build on when you look at the defense and what they were able to do, whether it was holding the field goals. Certainly, they forced some turnovers. That was something we were talking about. Can they be opportunistic turnover-wise? They have to be for this team to play good defense, and we saw it. So it's a nice positive step in the right direction. That's all we've been asking for these three games against bad teams. Washington, the Giants, Tennessee is kind of a team we don't know much about. Average, whatever. That's what you need. You need progress going forward for these 3 weeks, and we saw that from the defense, at least the first one out of the gate here in this new three-week stretch or so that we're looking at.
That interception by Turk Gordon was incredible. That's an incredible individual play.
Yes.
To snag that ball, then trap it on the back of the defender, then rip the ball into your chest to actually get the interception is credible. But Mike Dana obviously forces a fumble. Snead recovers it like they did the turnover job they did. But it's almost like, oh, man, wow, what making changes can actually do. The biggest difference in the game was they didn't let up a bunch of big plays. They let up one, as you had previously pointed out, in an absolutely wretchedly bad blown coverage. I think Tyrann Mathieu said after the game, looked like everybody gave up on the play together at the same time. But it's outside of that, they were better getting the ball. So like they attack screens. Nick Bolton, who overall, when I viewed his season, even when we talked about it last week, I've got a lot of questions about whether or not it's going to work in the season long term. He attacked a couple of screens. He blew a few things up. They were able to play this level of defense with still no pass rush. So am I supposed to be encouraged or discouraged by that? Because I still think a lack of pass rush in the long run is a problem for this defense and sure. will maintain a problem. But they were able to hold the team down with largely no pass rush again. Like Frank Clark got in there occasionally, but a lot of those were coverage
sacks. I thought Frank was all right yesterday to a certain extent. He's not what you're paying him type of performance, right? But
no, if he was like a fourth round pick who was making rookie money, I wouldn't even have a complaint. I'd be like, nice game from Frank. Yeah.
There was a little bit more pressure in general from the defense, but it's still not anywhere near you need it to where you need
seven
it to be.
QB hits. I mean, it's better, but it's not pressure.
Doesn't it kind of feel like, though, when you're like on a basketball team, when your 6 foot white point guard gets a dunk? Like, he can say, well, I dunk now. I'm a dunker now. Well, technically, yes, you did dunk. But, like, I'm not expecting you to become Vince Carter now. That's kind of how I feel about the Chiefs defense. Like, you did your job, but I don't know if I really feel any differently about them as a unit moving forward.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't think they're suddenly going to be this every game and turn into a great defense by any means. To me, it's just the hope that they can continue to improve. Because if they would have gone out there yesterday, and Heinicke lights them up for 300 yards, three touchdowns, they give up 30-plus points, and they don't force any turnovers, then the faith in them being able to ever do it against some higher-quality teams, which they, of course, will see again later on in the second half of the season, the faith in that happening would have been pretty tough to find. And so that's what yesterday was about for me. Like, okay,
They're capable of having a decent game.
Yeah, like they're bad, but maybe there's a chance they're not going to actually end up being historically bad. Like if they would have done that type of performance against Washington that we had seen them give up against Buffalo and the Chargers and really every week prior to this one, then it would have been even more problematic. So that's what yesterday was for me. It's a positive sign. Hopefully they can build on it. And I think some confidence too, a little bit. I mean, it's no secret what the conversation has been the last 5 weeks in Kansas City. They can act like they block out the noise, but they're well aware of what the conversation was about the defense and how crappy they had been.
Is anyone else like, and this is a much shorter term thing. Like, I think I pointed this out with the Royals and their hitting development. Like, we knew it was a problem for a decade. They did nothing about it. And then eventually they're like, you know what? Maybe we'll try to hit different. And then they got better at it. This is only a 6 week sample size. So I understand why it takes you to get to a certain point before you decide to make that problem. But like, yeah, making some changes in how you're playing defensively doesn't do this. The interesting thing about it is this was their best performance on defense. We know that it wasn't even close. Is still there was a limited pass rush. Like I said, they got seven quarterback hurries, which I don't think is enough over the course of a game, especially with an offensive line that's still missing some guys on their end. But still, Willie Gay barely played. Like, I don't know if anybody knows. Willie Gay barely played.
Yeah, 19 snaps.
He played less snaps than he did the week before.
Yeah, that was surprising.
So he's still not 100% healthy, or they don't have the role plan for him that we all assumed he was going to have healthy.
Depends on what type of defensive package they were in. And also, I don't know if the Hitchens injury obviously led to Ben Neiman playing more. I don't know how that changed the way they were playing. But yes, that was surprising. Sure, I would never have guessed that.
But that was a bit shocking. But still no Willie Gay, still no Chris Jones, still no Charvarius Ward. They're still missing a player for that entire game. They were still missing an important player at all three levels, and they played defense. To this point, I was just kind of banking on the fact to do this, and we were asking the question, hey, if they just simply turn the ball over less, will that help the defense? Well, they didn't do that either, did they? Still turn it over three times. So everything
but
was
they forced turnovers. See, that's also some of the difference. They found a way, and again, you can say it's the opponent, but fact of the matter, they found a way to get turnover. That was the opponent they were playing on Sunday, and they got turnovers twice. That's the difference, too. If your offense is going to turn the ball over as much as the Chiefs are right now, you have to find a way to get takeaways on your own on the defense, and that was some of the difference in this game on Sunday, too.
This one actually made me feel better. Like, normally, I would be very similar to where Nick is. Like, okay, this means nothing in the grand scheme. They're still a bad defense. They're still going to be awful. And I'm certainly by no means just going to predict they're a good defense now. But all the same things were working against them. The offense kept putting them in bad positions by turning the ball over. They were still missing a key player at all three levels, as we have previously said. Like, all the things that were causing them to play bad defensively still existed. The only difference is they made some adjustments in who they were lining up where, and they simply just played better. They made less big plays happen defensively. I will say this, the Washington football team did help them out a few times. There were some key drops in that game that I think probably lead to more Washington points than what they gave up, but I don't know how I can come out of that game and have really anything negative to say about how they played defensively. They played their best game of the season, and I hope it turns into a great game against a much better offense next week.
Exactly. Let's see how they follow
Tennessee Titans,
up.
Who we'll get to see play tonight. We'll get a vibe for how they are tonight.
Yeah, they have a short week. Of course, the Titans taking on the Buffalo Bills, and we all know what Buffalo's capable of. I think everybody's kind of fascinated. How does Tennessee stack up against a Bills team
Tennessee
that we just
Buffalo,
saw?
Buffalo, then we look at this game so much more different
for
on
sure.
Sunday.
Depending on how it goes, yeah, absolutely.
I think any win
case.
For Tennessee,
yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, they're better than I thought because they could be that good of a team.
I mean, it sets up as somewhat of a letdown game here for Buffalo, too, just considering that the Super Bowl was last week for them, and then this is a big game for Buffalo to make sure that this isn't one that you'll have a letdown game.
Sure,
I think
Tennessee's 4-2 and beats Buffalo, you take them much more seriously. And
yeah.
Derrick Henry's the MVP, according to Nick.
That's right.
Again, I need Derrick Henry and Josh Allen to trip each other going
keep
into
laughing.
The game.
You know what? Keep laughing, guys.
And get hurt so I don't.
Yes. Derrick Henry will not win MVP. That is still accurate.
I didn't say he would win MVP.
He should be in the conversation. Is what
I just said, you know, don't laugh off the idea that he is a legitimate candidate. You'll see tonight. He'll have the stage to himself.
Like, he can't be a legitimate candidate if you don't think he can win. Like, we've all seen where the odds
are
at.
Opinion.
He's not anywhere on the front page.
I'm in the same spot as Nick was a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
I need a Nancy Kerrigan moment.
Cody's
heading into
done.
Guillotine or I'm done.
Huh. Nick, hate to see that, don't we? Huh.
It is a shame.
You know what I'll do? Take it proudly rather than create a shame.
Well, our listeners that are in our league as well are enjoying it. More opportunities.
You call it a sham. I caught bringing people together.
I need a healthy scratch.
You're done, man.
You're done.
Injury.
Sorry, you're over.
It's over. You're going to get eliminated. You're done.
Yeah.
You're chopped. Tomorrow, you're
no
at 10:50 or so.
You know what? I'm not even going to watch tonight.
Okay. just done with it, huh?
I can't witness my own demise.
It's over.
The number one scoring
Mike
team
Williams.
At the end of this week, and I'm going to get eliminated because Guillotine is a cruel, cruel bastard.
The Chargers and Mike Williams were carrying you for a while. Mike Williams and the Chargers had an off week, and here you are. And those Chargers, man, they got beat up by the Ravens. I mean, they got rocked. They got flat out beat down. I was built up, and we were all looking forward to this Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert matchup. It's going to be a great game, and it was from start to finish controlled by Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, a bunch of old running backs scoring touchdowns on. We know that rushing defense for the Chargers is awful, and boy, is it awful. Because
waiting for Jackie Battle's chance.
Yeah, like Devonta Freeman scores. Le'Veon Bell, Latavius Murray. Of course, Lamar's doing his thing. He's ridiculous. And they found a way defensively to slow down and give Herbert all kinds of fits. And it was a really impressive win. And look, it's one that you wanted to see happen if you're a Chiefs fan, like for the Ravens. I know the Ravens beat
brings
the Chiefs
the division
as well.
Right,
but yeah,
help,
I mean, you don't want a team getting out there to a 5-1 start on you. Ultimately, this division is still going to be decided. The Chiefs are going to have to beat the Chargers in the second meeting later on this season for them to win this division. I think we all agree that that's going to have to happen. But it definitely helps to see in the AFC West what occurred, which was a Chargers loss. And look, it was head-to-head for the Raiders and the Broncos. One of those teams had to lose. The Broncos are who we thought they were. They were 3-0. Now they're 3-3. They're not any good. The Raiders, it was an impressive win considering all the turmoil with their organization and John Gruden, of course, resigning and everything. And Derek Carr and that offense looked really good against the Denver Broncos defense. And so Chargers and Raiders 4-2, and the Chiefs tied with the Broncos for last place, but at 3-3. But
I just kind of view that
stabilized
game
things a little bit.
Last night is like one of those games that just gets away from you. Because if you look at like Lamar Jackson's total stat line, it's not like he went 500 yards on you. He threw for 167 yards. He ran for 50. He threw two picks. He threw more picks than he had touchdowns in that game. But they just ran it all over you. And then it was just one of those games, you know, like it just snowballs and snowballs. Like, that's what happened to that game. Like, from the jump, they got so far behind the eight ball, they could just never recover. And could never recover, which is probably still a good sign that they're not, like, that's one of those, like, do you take a team serious because of championship stuff? Because, like, how quickly it unraveled on them? But I don't know, man. A game like that, how am I supposed to read anything out of it? The Chargers got beat so bad.
Oh, I mean, I still think the Chargers.
Other than I guess I should have never counted the Ravens out after all those injuries.
Yeah, people were talking about the Ravens being a seven. I think we all did. Being like a seven-win team because of the injuries. Harbaugh's too good of a coach. Lamar Jackson's too good of a quarterback. They've got a legit chance to win that division because the Browns are so banged up. The Browns are sitting at 3-3. They're banged up all over the place. That defense isn't any good. And they have a short week. They take on the Broncos on Thursday. Baker's hurt. Beckham's hurt. Landry's on IR. Nick Chubb's hurt. Kareem Hunt's hurt. Like, that's a banged up Cleveland team. They're in a dangerous spot here the next week or two based off of short week and then also the injuries that they have. But I don't view the Chargers really any differently. I think these type of games happen. If anything, yeah, you look at the Ravens and say, okay, they're going to be in the mix all year.
You're going to see them in the playoffs, whether that's the team you face or the Chargers or the Bills. We've already got a sense of which teams are going to be in the playoffs and likely hosting
because
home games.
The difference for the Ravens in this one, before we could look at their wins and like, hey, you're finding ways to win, but you're winning on a 66-yard record-breaking field goal. You're winning on a Clyde fumble last second. You're winning on a 22-9 comeback in the fourth quarter. You're like, how sustainable is that? Well, then you go out and that was a statement-type win for the Ravens, though, over a very good Los Angeles Chargers team. But it is nice to see the division kind of come back to the pack a little bit. Still got to go beat the Chargers down the road, though.
Is it fair to take a victory lap? Is it too early to take a victory lap on the Browns defense? Because you mentioned them, and I asked the question to multiple people, both on social media and on this show, how do you expect a defense to go from the 22nd best defense in the NFL to a top five defense in the NFL? I don't feel like that happens very often. Where are you seeing it? And then it was always like, well, Garrett had COVID and they'll be great. That was pretty much the answer I was given by everybody.
No, you and I were in agreement on this.
And they are what? The 20th best defense in the NFL. Like, I don't understand this leap. I mean, like, to them, like, your thing on the Browns was they're always going to be limited by their quarterback play, which has proven more than true. And my thing was, okay, they're limited by the quarterback play, but also how are they going to make that kind of leap defensively? And so far they have been limited on quarterback play with a defense who hasn't taken the leap. Yeah. They look like a team at risk of missing the postseason.
Well, we're continuing to learn that there's a lot of good teams in the AFC. The Bills appear to be the team, right? And we'll see confirmation again tonight, probably against the Titans. And then after that, it is still wide open. Like, the Ravens probably are that second team right now, no question. But after that, it is still wide open. This is why the Chiefs still have a chance to end up being the third best team in the AFC or the second best team in the AFC heading into the playoffs.
They're not playing like that yet.
They're not.
Still,
they're
right?
not. But no. But
we're not
the point
taking
is,
that leap after
but,
a Washington.
But the Browns aren't dominant. The Chargers certainly are beatable with what would just happen. Like, the Ravens still have flaws despite being 5-1. Like,
Chargers probably can still get their ass kicked.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, everybody can be beat. There's not even the Buffalo Bills. Like, because they somehow found a way to lose to the Steelers week one, which makes zero sense whatsoever. Like, every team in the there's not a team where you look and say, man, they just can't be beat. The closest thing to it is the Buffalo Bills. But after that, it is anybody can truly beat anybody. I know it's like the cliche, but I mean, I really feel that's the case in the AFC this year. If you just look how some of these games have gone the first 6 weeks, some teams are really banged up too in the AFC right now. And we got a longer season than ever.
Chiefs are among them, though. I mean, it's not like they're separate from that conversation.
Yeah, well, Chris Jones hasn't played very much. Frank Clark hasn't played very much this season. Yeah, obviously, Charvarius Ward, Tyree. I mean, they also just have some guys that are nicked up in general. Like, Travis Kelce's got something clearly going on with the hand or wrist.
He looked. I mean, he just looked like he was going through it last night, didn't he? Like, every time he's coming off the field, just like, good God. He's holding his wrist.
I don't want to talk about
that. He's dragging his legs.
I don't want to talk about Travis Kelce potentially getting
He still old. Had 8 catches for 99 yards. A guy that was so banged up, still almost had a 100-yard game. He's just ridiculous. He's just ridiculous.
Some guys are better at playing through stuff like that than others. We've established that. Sammy Watkins came on this show and was like, you know, I should probably learn to play with, like, hamstring problems sometimes. What's he out with this week? Hamstring. How long is he going to be out? Multiple weeks.
And that's not the beginning of Nick's Notable Notes.
I didn't know if that was something new.
Nick's Notable Notes.
There we go, guys. It's time for another edition of Nick's Notable Notes. I want to talk about interceptions. Not good when your team is throwing them, great when your team is catching them. That's what the Cowboys are doing. Trayvon Diggs, another interception yesterday.
Pick 6.
It's ridiculous.
Took that one to the house. That's 7 for him on the season. And those 7 picks are more than 27 teams in the NFL have collectively. The Jets, by the way, still have yet to record an interception.
How, just even like an accident?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me either.
Robert Saleh hasn't had a defense with a pick yet? That's surprising.
So the NFL record for the most interceptions in the season. Any guesses? You guys have any idea who holds that esteemed?
Individual player?
Individual player. Shit is an easy one, guys. It's a layup.
I was going to say either Deion or Polamalu, but...
Okay. I'll give you 2 guesses. That's fine.
So it's neither of those 2 is what you're telling me. Because I'm thinking like Ed Reed and those guys.
I don't know.
Okay.
11.
All right. I know it was probably...
I think it's like 13.
It was probably on the tip of your tongue. The correct answer, Night Train Lane, who had 14 interceptions for the LA Rams back in 1952. Perhaps most impressively...
Yeah, I would have been guessing all day, all show long.
He did it in 12 games. 14 interceptions in 12 games. It's time for that record to fall. And who better to do it than the guy who has 1 interception for every game he's played in?
Yeah.
Let's just do a hypothetical because you laugh at my Derrick Henry stuff. So let's do one here. If Trayvon Diggs continues this pace and were to get 17 interceptions, so every single game he plays in, he is stealing an extra possession for his team.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Any chance he gets an MVP vote?
No, he'll be Defensive Player of the Year if that happens. Absolutely. Yeah. He's on pace to be that already.
How many picks?
He's not going to be MVP for a couple
interceptions.
Reasons.
30
couple
interceptions.
Reasons. We all watched that Cowboys game. Other than positional
value.
He got
scored on the next play.
Yeah, other than positional value, we all watched that game. The next play, he got burnt. So the interceptions there, he grades out very poorly on Pro Football Focus, actually, because of that issue. He gets big plays. He gives up big plays.
Who cares? If he has 7 picks, I don't care what plays you give up. I wouldn't be complaining about Dan Sorensen's year if he was, like, giving up all these touchdowns but also had 7 interceptions.
Yeah, but the question was an MVP. No, you're not an MVP. Sorry.
What if he got 30 interceptions?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Now you know the
marking
number.
Marking that.
Yeah.
If he goes on a tear, we're bringing this audio back.
That's right. Let me know. Come back to me when he's around 18 or 20, okay? Please, come back and let me know.
I don't think this next guy is going to be getting any MVP votes, but as Cody mentioned, impressive interception yesterday by Tershawn Wharton. Big man interception. I love big man interceptions. I thought to myself, wait a minute. Is he the biggest guy to get an interception so far this year? Well, for the Chiefs, he is.
Well, yeah, not many interceptions in general.
Yeah, they haven't had many to speak of. I went back, did some digging during the Andy Reid era. Heaviest man to get an interception during the Reid era of the Chiefs.
Yeah, Poe comes to mind.
Poe. Derek Nnadi got one in 2019. He's listed at 317, and he's got a few LBs there on Wharton, who, surprisingly, only 6'4", 278. I would have thought...
He's an end.
I would have thought he got a little closer to 3 Bills there. Also, Chris Jones has 2 interceptions in his career. He's listed as 298. Had one in 2018 and in 2017. But my research found that Wharton is the 3rd biggest player this season to get an interception.
Important.
Behind Angela Blackson, who's listed at 315, and Malcolm Roach at 290. So the bronze medal goes to Wharton, but I don't think either one of those guys got a one-handed pick.
Yeah, so he
off the helmet, just wedged it in the helmet of an opponent. That was
who was
awesome.
That guy? David Tyree for the Giants,
right? That's right.
Very reminiscent.
Same magnitude of a play.
And I think we'll remember them the same
absolutely
in the history of the NFL.
This one we'll be talking about for decades, absolutely.
All right, guys, we got to end on a sad note because nobody has provided us perhaps with more humorous content on the show this year than Ed Orgeron, and it looks like
He's at it again.
Hey, that faucet may be getting shut off for good, as it looks like Ed Orgeron time at LSU coming to an end. They reached an agreement basically to say, please go away. Because it sounds like things just haven't been going well. They've got a big upset win over a top 20 team in Florida over the weekend, but this will be his last season down in Baton Rouge. A lot of reports coming from local and national outlets. Matt Trent of WBRZ in Baton Rouge said that his personal life was bleeding so much into his coaching life that there were multiple practices where, quote, girlfriends would be in attendance to the regard of their children participating in drills with the team.
Oh, no. There was also a report that he was hitting on, like, the pregnant wife of a team official.
This comes to us from The Athletic. It said that he pulled up to a woman at a gas station who was wearing exercise attire. He said, quote, hey, you look like you work out. We could work out together. The woman informed Orgeron that she was married and pregnant, to which he responded, quote, why does that matter? Well, to answer that question, you may think it's a rhetorical question. It's not, because it mattered because that official woman was the wife of a high-ranking LSU official. So Ed Orgeron looks like he is on his way out.
Happy 20th birthday. What's her name?
Bebe.
Bebe?
Little Bebe. That's what we call her.
All right. That sounds like a familiar name, I know. What's up? Happy birthday, Bebe. Where you at?
That's Coach future O. Kansas head coach Ed Orgeron.
Coach
to you.
Coach O.
Oh, no. We're not going back to that well.
Yeah. Something.
You sure?
Thinking of LSU. Les Miles was in attendance at the KU game on Saturday.
His kid plays for the team? Is that what I was told?
He does.
Because originally my thought was,
he's picking up his final check.
Guy was confused. Ends up at game. He thought he's still coach, and he does not.
Oh, boy.
What? I'm trying to figure it out. He's just like all of a sudden in a Kansas football game.
His
kid plays there, so that's probably why.
Did they show him on the Jumbotron?
I think they brought him out at halftime and everything, yeah.
You do that, like, prom wave?
Like, does he get an ovation if they show him on the big screen?
No, he gets booed.
Yeah?
Yes. For the 5,000 people that are still at the game by halftime. After they're down 35-0 at halftime,
you
or 24-0
very generous with those crowd
Something
estimates.
Like that. I'm sure Nick was at the game. I'm sure.
You or know
Rob,
that I wasn't.
Or Rob Brenton was, one of the two. Something like that.
Nick hasn't been to a game since he stopped living in Lawrence, so he's got a good streak going.
That used to make me go. You think I'm going just as a leisurely activity?
I haven't been to a KU football game in probably 8 years.
So never been to one.
Something like that. Nor should you right now.
We should go as a as a show. Yeah. Be fun. Be a good time.
Good next tickets time still
I'm,
available.
The next time I'm in Lawrence is maybe December 11th for KUMU.
You guys can crash at my place.
There you go.
We'll hit the town.
Sounds like a hell of a weekend. Can't wait. That's Nick's.
You did mastery like you're in college again.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That could be some fun stories for the show. No doubt about that. All right, coming up next, he was more involved and as emotional as ever.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.